she's used prior in ministry and to be able to minister. And I listened to that and I said, that's a great song. You need to share that on Sunday. And so thank you very much, Erin. You are a blessing. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be back here at church, isn't it? I'm excited to see this baby over here. Another blessing from the Lord. What is the baby's name? Tanlin, with a T. Beautiful. Congratulations. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. I rejoice with you guys this morning. So welcome. We have been in the middle of a series on Romans, and we are working each and every week. We're working through a chapter in the book of Romans. There's so much meat in all of that. And just an advance heads up, next week, Miss Erin Snow is going to be sharing on Romans 8. She's in the middle of pursuing some ministerial credentials through Oral Roberts University. And I know her email is ROM, I think, I won't give it out necessarily, but it begins with Romans and her favorite verse. And I knew that it would be a good fit for her and to give her an opportunity to speak and share the word of God. We are into releasing the ministry gifts. And if you come from a background where maybe women are not ministering the word of God, that's okay. God will show you that truth. Anyway, but Erin's going to be sharing that in next week, and I'm excited for that. She already has the title. She's already ready. She's geared up. She's fired up, and I'm excited to hear what she has to share next week. So just encourage her if you can, and it's not always easy to step in front of a group of people and share God's word. Amen? Amen. So let's pray, and then let's get into it. Hallelujah, God. I just give you thanks, Lord, for this precious Sunday morning, God. Another day where we wake up and we have air in our lungs and we can use those. We can choose, God, today to be able to curse or praise. And today, God, I pray, Lord, that we're a people of praise and prayer this morning, God, that through this worship time that we have, God, we have an opportunity to turn our hearts unto you, oh God, and away from the things that would pull us from you, God, and that this word would give us encouragement, God, that we have the strength through you to be able to live a life that is victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to begin by reading just the whole chapter of Romans 7. We do have some Bibles for loan on the back desk where you came in case you didn't bring your Bible this morning. We don't have the benefit of having pew Bibles. If you grew up having pew Bibles, I don't know if you looked around you, but there's no pews here. So if you could bring one from home, and if you don't have one, if you don't own a Bible, that's okay too. Through a very generous gift, those paperback Bibles are available if anybody wants to take one and make it their own if you don't own one, okay? This is your sword. This is your tool. This is everything you need. And so if you don't have this at home, your home is empty no matter how many things you own. So I encourage you, if you don't own one, to grab one this morning. All right, so Romans chapter 7. Let's do it. Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So then, if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. So, my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. Hallelujah. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. I would not have known what sin was except through the law, for I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, do not covet. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. For what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So, I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Thanks be to God for his holy word. As a brief kind of connecting this chapter into the whole body of work, we've heard all kinds of things about being freed from the law of sin, and also last week we talked about the wages of sin is death. That's right. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Okay, so there's the bad news is the law of sin is death. The good news is that we have the answer on the other side. Amen? So what I wanted to talk about today, and it was kind of impossible for me, I'm going to ask somebody, does anybody know how to turn the lights on in here? It's really dim, isn't it? Amen. I don't want everybody falling asleep because it's kind of like sleepy time eyes. Thank you, Tom. Yeah, without the bright sun coming through, it's kind of dim in here. There's this great debate going on, and I didn't want to ignore it. It would have been easy for me to kind of look at the beginning of the chapter and ignore the back part of the chapter. So I figured I would just share some information with you about the two different interpretations. And I'm going to give you the strongest two interpretations because there are more than that when it comes to the back half of Romans 7. I called it the Great Debate. You know, because all of us modern day theologians or people that read the Bible, we have no idea, really, Paul's intent. We didn't know him. We didn't live with him. All we can do is look at his other writings and look at those people that were peers of his or in that same range and kind of look back and try to figure out exactly what he was trying to say. So the back half here we're going to focus on is Romans 7, 13 through 25. And it is one of the most controversial passages in the book of Romans. Paul summarizes the struggle in verses 21 to 25, the back half, that the good law of God is at war with the law of sin. Because people are held captive under the law of sin, they can never escape the penalty for disobedience, which is death, right? Disobedience, sin, the wages of sin are death. But the good news is there is an option, okay? I'm going to give you both sides here today. So the big question is whether or not Paul is actually speaking to his hearers as a pre-Christian, as a Jew under the law, or as a Christian, somebody that already has the Spirit and dwelled by the Spirit, and whether or not we can still struggle with sin. So the first view is Paul is sharing his experience as a mature Christian. After having described how he first came to know the law in chapter 7, verses 7 to 12, then he begins to share his continuing struggle in the present tense, even as a Christian, to fulfill the law of God. All right? Christ did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Okay? So even though we're not under the Old Testament, under the old law, Christ came to fulfill the law. So redeemed from sin, he nonetheless is still in the body. Okay? We have a spirit man and we have this man. This is the flesh man. This is the things that we struggle with. That this body, he refers to in this, is a body of death. That this is the sinful nature, the flesh. The other option is option two. Paul's describing his life as a Jew under the law. So having shown how he and other Jews became captive to the law of sin when the law was given, and in this interpretation, they're holding it as the Mosaic law. Okay, when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments and eventually wrote the first five books of the Bible, then this law is what he's talking about. Paul now describes what life under the law was like. They delighted in the law, right? They loved the law, but could not possibly uphold it. And hence the need for a Savior, because we can't possibly do it on our own. So to give you my own bias, I fall on the first one. That I believe it is Paul sharing his experience as a mature Christian. Now, I know that's not going to necessarily be a popular thing, but I'm going to share why. Okay? Paul, kind of all the way through the book of Romans, kind of speaks about like a two-regime framework, right? There's the old regime, okay? This is the former, the life under the law before Christ. And then the new regime is common. Believers belong to it by faith, okay? So we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior by faith, all right? And then because of that, we are under this new covenant. But the fact remains is that the old regime still exists, okay? That war that we have with the flesh and with sin still exists, even though that we are going in this right direction, that there's always going to be that struggle because of original sin. So we must battle against sin's continuing influence. Another way to think about it is the already not yet aspect, right? So we are already justified, we are already reconciled, right? If we are believers, and I don't know everybody's status in here today, but if we've said, yes, I want to follow Christ, I've confessed you as Lord and Savior, I believe in my heart that you died for my sins, then we are already justified. And we talked about that it's that just as if I never sinned, we're made right, righteous in the eyes of God. And we are reconciled, our relationship to God and with others is reconciled. Pastor Renee did a great job talking about that on Romans 5. But the not yet part, we are not yet glorified. We are not yet resurrected. And so we are still subject to the sin's lure. And we talked about before that sanctification is a process, right? Some of us take longer, you know, and I've confessed my own journey has been a long one. You know, it's kind of like I came to faith in 1992. And I'm going to confess that Tom and I, we went forward to an altar. We gave our hearts to the Lord. They gave us a new believer's pack. And I think we were in Virginia. I'm not exactly sure. But we had to drive home. And I would not doubt that we probably pulled off over somewhere and picked up, like, roadies for the drive home. Because that's what we did. Okay? We didn't know what we were doing. And we had nobody speaking into our lives. Okay, so that sanctification process for us took a long time. I had to find the right teaching, the right mentors. I had to understand that I needed this in my life, that I could not go back to my old life and still leave, even though in my heart I believed that Jesus Christ was Lord and Savior. I knew that something amazing happened to me that day. It was a purification process that I could feel just start in the bottom of my toes and right up to the top of my head, where I knew that God was doing something amazing in me and scrubbing me out from the inside out. Okay, but I still struggled with the flesh, all right? The things that I had been doing very well on my own, okay? So we battle against that. The sanctification is a process. Thank God that we don't have to give up in the process. Amen? right? So we can find ourselves and understand that we're not there yet, right? We're already justified. We're already reconciled. We're just not there yet, and it's okay. Just keep, thank you, Dory. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming, swimming. What do? We swim. Martin Luther, and if you've never read any of his stuff, I'll tell you, great stuff. He used the phrase, simul justus et peccator.
What?
Which is, at the same time, just and a sinner. And I told you it was his reading of Romans that started the whole Reformation, okay? So this is his understanding of grace and mercy, and that we are made right before God, but that we are still sinners. And I said, you know, for us to understand what Paul meant by this writing, we then have to look at the other things that Paul wrote, right? We want to look at the full breadth of Scripture if something is giving us challenge. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want." Okay? And here's the thing. Too many times, I think people will look at what Paul has said, and that he says, I have a thorn in my flesh, and I struggle with this, and he says, what a wretched man am I here. And people will look at that and say, well, I'm struggling with this thing, but it's okay, because Paul did, right? Never should we be satisfied with sin in our lives. Never. Okay? So don't think this is a justification for doing what you know is wrong. Okay? People will share their story and their testimony, and they might be struggling, but the thing is, it never justifies what you find yourself doing. Okay? If you are a believer in Christ, if you're following Christ, you can never fall back on that and say, it's okay. Paul did it, the greatest of all the apostles, so it's okay for me. No. The fact is, we will always struggle against sin. I'm going to share a little video with you, and I don't have any of my helpers today, so I have to go back up here. And lest you think that this message is going to be totally serious, I want you to watch this video, okay? This is somebody that struggles with something, and they're going to be given an answer. It's not necessarily the answer that I would give you. But I, hang on. So let me just play this. All right. Oh, that always makes me laugh so hard. Here's the thing, though. All joking aside, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to have a little light moment. But honestly, there's a lot of people that are struggling, right? We don't want to make light of people's struggles. I'm not making light of people's struggles. Let me read the end. So we're going to start back on Romans 7. I'm going to start in verse 21. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man, what a wretched woman I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So two words. Let's not stop it. Jesus Christ, two words, makes all the difference. There's no need to struggle. And yes, there are things, there might be long-term things that you've had to deal with, you know, and sometimes things take time. You know, we have a wonderful partner ministry in Ashburnham through the Christian Healing Center, and they will spend the time praying in depth. If you have stuff that's happened a long time ago that you need to let go, they will work with you. Through prayer and seeking after the will of the Lord, you can be healed from those things. You have the ticket to bring you into victorious life where you never have to struggle with that again. Amen? So yes, we will continue to sin. We will make mistakes. We will. But thanks be to God that we have Jesus Christ, those two precious words. Let me give you two more words. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. If you're not familiar with this church at all and our fundamental beliefs, we are a Pentecostal church. You know, when people say, what kind of church you belong to? What kind of thing you doing out there? And I say, we're the crazy Pentecostals. Because we really still believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the empowerment that comes through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And let me just give you a quick teaching. Number one, we are saved by confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and believing in our hearts that he died for our sins. Okay, that's step number one. We come to faith in Christ. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit indwells in us. He says, when Jesus went away, he said, I'm going to send a helper. I'm going to send an advocate to you. And that Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within us is that guide to help us to make the right decisions, to live life with the Spirit. But there is a subsequent event. It's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit, with evidence and speaking in other tongues. And if you doubt it, read the book of Acts. Because I'll tell you, I fought that tooth and nail for a long time. Even when I was part of an AG church, I thought it was a bunch of hokey hoke. Until it happened to me. And then I went, oh, so it's real. But I had to be available, willing, seeking. You know, for me, I had attended some evangelistic, you know, events, worship services, and that kind of thing. And there was always like a big hullabaloo at the altar area in the front here. Maybe loudness, people yelling, come on, come on, come on, start praising, you know, like stuff that just made me really uncomfortable. Because I don't, you know, as much as I get up in front of people like this and I sing and I do all these things, you have no idea how nervous I am every time I do it. Because I'm actually a really quiet person. If I go into a crowded room, it takes me a long time to find somebody to talk to. I'm very shy. I know it doesn't look that way. And the last thing I ever wanted to do was make a display in front of anybody. And so for me, and I'm only talking about this because I had my ordination interview a couple weeks ago, and our district superintendent said, tell us about when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it gave me an opportunity to share this story. And for me, it was just a simple sitting in the back of a worship service. And we had like a Wednesday night Bible teaching. And then we just closed with a couple songs and worship, very like more acoustic like we did this morning. And we were singing, How Great Is Our God. And I was in the back all by myself. And I just began to sing in tongues. I was by myself. It wasn't a show. It wasn't a big to-do. There weren't people screaming at me. It was just, I was willing. And it was my time. And God really began to anoint the ministry that I had after that and empowered me to do things that I never thought that I could do. And that's what it is. You encouraged me this week, Pastor Renee. She's doing work on the book of Acts, Luke and theology in her master's class, and she said, people need the Holy Spirit. I said, amen, yes. And so as I was preparing this message today, yes, we might sin. Yes, we will struggle. But I'll tell you what, you struggle less baptizing the Holy Ghost. That's it. And so today I just wanted to give you an opportunity. Hey, Erin, is she still here? Oh, there you are. Oh, why do I not see you when I've been looking at you the whole time? That happens all the time. I'm sorry. Would you mind playing and singing? Thank you. Just give us an opportunity to just sing. If you want to come to the altar and believe for that in your life, I encourage you to do so. Nobody's going to make a big show over you. Just tarry at the altar. You know, the words to just wait. We just wait We wait in faith that God will do something and fill us with the Holy Ghost. And if you've been filled in the Holy Ghost already, there's always more, right? Experiences kind of drain us. If you want a new infilling and a refueling, then come to the altar and believe that God is going to meet you here this morning. I know it's so hard sometimes. We're in here and it looks like a gym. You know, sometimes I wish I could dim the lights and light candles and make it look inviting and quiet and dark so you don't think that people are watching you. But ultimately, you know, it's just your relationship with God. It doesn't matter where you are or what the floors look like or what the windows like, but if you come in faith, he is faithful to meet you. You can sing whatever you like. How's that? And I just encourage you. Let's just have some altar time. It's only 11:05. Let's just let the Lord do what the Lord needs to do this morning, and I'll close in prayer when I believe God tells me to. Amen? If you need to go, that's okay. Don't feel guilty about having to go or whatever. The kids are being taken care of downstairs for the next few minutes. I think we're all set there. So if you just want to wait on the Lord, please do so. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise your holy name today, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Let's pray together, shall we, before you head out this morning. And if you need to spend more time at the altar, Aaron, if you would just be available just to play guitar a little bit if the altar's still open for a few minutes. I don't want to rush anybody out, but let's pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today, oh God. I give you thanks, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, God, that lives and dwells within us, oh God, and that directs us in paths of righteousness, God. I pray, God, that through the Holy Spirit, that we can live a life victorious, God, that we can confront the things that are sin in our life, those things that we are struggling with, and defeat them. So thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We are defeaters, not defeat head, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So God, bless your people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Keep us from all unrighteousness, God. Direct our paths. Guide us. Be the light unto our path, O God, as your word says. Let us continue to seek your will in our lives, to be blessed through obedience and to be a blessing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.